We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Hear Me Out Tuesdays. This is my favorite part of it because
girl, fix your dress. You coming all undone and stuff. I know it's radio, but I don't want to see stuff.
I'm looking. My headphones are around my neck, and I was looking for them. You know those moments where you're looking for your phone and it's in your hand? Yeah,
sure,
that's my life right now.
If only this show was like there was a camera in here.
One day.
People would judge.
One day. All right. Sam Garanzini and Alapaki are back with us for Hear Me Out Tuesdays. They're from the Gay Couples Institute. Hello, you guys.
Hey.
Hi. So today we're looking at cheating. And specifically, why do good people cheat on their partners?
And are they good people?
I guess it's assumed only bad people do that, but it can happen. So what do you mean by that question? Why do good people cheat on their partners?
Well, this is what we know people do. These are people that, yes, it's easy to vilify the partner who has done the cheating, either emotionally, sexually, all that, and to be, naturally really angry at that person. But what you really see is when you pull back the layers of this relationship and that person, you often see just really a normal person that was lonely or kind of got themselves in a situation where one small lie, one white lie led to more and more stuff. Mm. And it was like death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah. So once that happens in a relationship and it's discovered, how is it salvageable? And how do you make it work?
It is salvageable. Research shows that about 74% of couples make it through infidelity. It is not easy. It is an arduous process. And in fact, if people knew how hard it was to recover from a sexual or emotional affair or any other type of betrayal, they wouldn't have done it in the first place. So I think it is a lot of counseling. I think it's the first thing I would say is people really do need a professional to guide them through that process. But it's months and months of work. Mm. It can be.
I mean, interesting. Let's rewind this back because you guys were talking about, you know, there is a moment where a person can find themselves in a sticky situation where, they're either lonely or they're feeling a certain way about the relationship. Well, it feels like that all automatically just falls back into terrible communication skills. How does that really play a part in the beginning stages of cheating?
You know, that's a great question. I think let's rewind it back and talk about the beginning stages of cheating. Alapaki, did you want to say something about that?
No, it's just you're exactly right, Ryan. I think comes down to communication. People do not talk about sex. And so there's a lot of things that are left unsaid that where they end up where they do end up. So
but is it just about sex, though, or is it more of a like an intimacy and like mm-hmm. what's missing out of the relationship? Because I don't think people just cheat just for the sex of it all. It feels like they cheat because there's a lack of something that they may not be getting.
Yeah, you're filling the gap.
Exactly. And so what we see when we rewind it back to the beginning is you start to see a kind of a cascade toward betrayal. And it often starts in the very small moments where you look back and you see that these two people, for some reason, stopped bidding for one another's attention. And it was in the small moments, like, you know, hey, where's the remote? And the other one would be like, why don't you find it your damn self? Things like that. And those kind of comments those kind of comments cause people to simply never ask that question in that way ever again. Mm-hmm. Because we followed couples several decades. We realized that they don't bid for attention in that way ever again. If you multiply that 100-fold through many different kinds of questions that are turned away from or slapped down with that kind of crabby slap, you find that ends up being kind of the mechanism that starts the ball rolling where people get lonely. And then once people get lonely, they start living lives kind of in parallel, where they're together, but not really together. And then they start to see all the options that are really open to all of us all day long. Mm-hmm. But now those options start to look kind of appealing.
How can you stop those little moments from happening? Or when they do happen, can you redirect them to something positive, like mention it? Or is it about being more present and aware and then communicating right away? How do you not get to the place where it's like it's all built up into where you cheat?
Absolutely. Yeah. You asked the question and you actually solved the whole thing, actually, Shira.
Yeah,
it's bringing about that awareness, but you said it really nicely, where stopping it sooner rather than later is great. But being aware that how is my partner trying to get my attention? Mm-hmm. That's the first thing to really notice that. And it's not even your partner. It's just constantly, like throughout our day today, there are people trying to get our attention all the time through email, through text message, asking for support, having a question. They just want to talk. There's so many people trying to get our attention. So with each person, how are they trying to get my attention? And it is my job, 84% of the time, to try to answer it. So more times than not, it doesn't have to be 100%, but more times than not, especially if you just start with one person, like say your partner or someone you're dating, start with that one person and focus on how they're trying to get my attention, your attention, and then try to answer it.
Yeah, because that goes back to almost like your love languages and like what they need to feel like this is an attention that I want. Because one person's need for attention in certain things might be different from yours, like whether it be gifts or physical affection or, you know, being verbal and communicative.
Guys, what are some of those signs that you should look out for if your partner is cheating?
Ooh. Well, I think if you're, as far as what you should look, okay, what should you look out for if they have or if they
If they might or if they have, like if they're, you know, if they've cheated before and you want to know if they're cheating again or if there's something, you know, there's been a change in the relationship and you're like, I wonder, is my partner cheating? And you don't want to be like the crazy partner where you're like going through their phone and all that stuff, but maybe there are signs that maybe there's some distance, maybe there's something they're kind of doing that could be like, hey, what is going on here?
Totally. I think, like we talked about in one other show about that same kind of question, that's a great question. I think what you want to look for is as you ask a question, first of all, just bring it up. Say, hey, I feel like we're a little distant. Or I noticed, you know, I was reaching out to you and I didn't hear anything. Is everything okay? What you would want to see there is that they don't react defensively and that you can often feel it in your gut that there's a lot of transparency and they have nothing to hide. You don't want to be the person that's searching and snooping around. You want a relationship where you can just bring things up and they say, oh, well, I didn't respond like this because of this. And then also what you're looking for is a pattern. So when you see a pattern of responses, then bringing that up kind of supports what you think originally.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, and hopefully you're not maybe doing those things because you're just triggered by previous, you know, experiences or stories that you have in your mind, and then that could just ruin the relationship when they're not doing anything.
Personally, I've gone through a cheating relationship but his main thing where he always told me, like, when I found out that he cheated on me and he never told me, it was always, I didn't want to hurt you. And I feel like that's a lot of excuses that you hear, like, when it comes out of, like, a cheater's kind of mouth, when they're like, well, I didn't want to hurt you even more, so I didn't tell you. And I just always felt like that was kind of like a crock of BS.
Oh,
sure. And I would say that is true, where what ends up happening, depending on the person, if they don't like conflict, they may just, you know, sweep it under the rug and hope you never find out. And then what ends up happening is they're not preventing you from hurt. They're just delaying it. Mm. And the longer you delay it, the more it hurts later.
Oh, totally. So you mentioned therapy as a solution, obviously. Like, what else are practical tips for couples that have been through this or are going through it?
So it was a three-part process that we saw that couples went through when to recover from a betrayal like we've been talking about. And the first part was just genuine turning toward, genuine acknowledgement of that the hurt was real and that they caused it, and taking responsibility for that. And the betrayed partner, you know, they would have the normal kinds of reactions that you would expect, where, you know, they're critical, they're defensive, they're angry, they're all of those things. But the hallmark of what you'd really want to see is the person who did the betraying. They said, it makes total sense to me that you would be this pissed off. Can you tell me more about what's going on with your emotions right now? So if you just listen to that phrase, it's like non-defensive, taking responsibility, and it's almost like, just tell me more about where you are emotionally. The couples that did that were the ones who really stood out as the ones that moved through these kind of situations in kind of a timely fashion. I wouldn't say quickly, but they moved through it almost like efficiently, because that stage of that initial flip out, it is actually finite, and it should be, at least, where then it will move into the second phase, which is really a questioning kind of phase, where the one that's been betrayed has more questions, and you would just want to see the betraying partner answer more of those questions, just non-defensively, just answering where they can really see it out of his or her eyes.
So, I guess to wrap this beautiful segment up, it's one of my favorites. Is it true? Once a cheater, always a cheater.
So, that's really just not supported by science. And we've actually seen other therapists do a lot of damage to couples by saying that very comment, which is why we wanted to title this today, Once a Cheater, Always a Cheater, because it's not true. People that cheat, what we see is they get lonely. And then the situations that are open to all of us all the time suddenly look more appealing than the one that they're in. And so I guess my take home message for tonight would be, if you're in this kind of situation, rewind to the beginning and know you are not responsible for what happened, but also go back to the beginning and think what happened that, you know, started the cascade of betrayal, and how can we heal and start to create basically relationship or marriage number two, which is often stronger than marriage number one.
Look at that, some hope. We leave on a positive note. Well, Samuel Alipaki, thanks as always. You can check them out, all their work, the Gay Couples Institute, and they're here every Tuesday with Hear Me Out Tuesdays.
I mean, honestly, I'm staying clear of all relationships because Mercury's in retrograde right now, and I'm not doing it. I don't need that drama.
Excuses.
I don't need any of that.
Have a great night, you guys.
Okay, oh, my goodness. All right. Have a good one.